I'm a little starstruck. I got to be honest with you.
You are?
I'm a little starstruck. We got a big TV star over here.
Yes.
Giants general manager Joe Shane. I mean, what's it like, Joe, to have an entire TV show be based around you? That's got to be special. It's sort of like Frasier in a way, you know? Like Seinfeld, Frasier. This was Shane. Joe Shane on HBO Max.
Yeah. Did not love it, obviously. And during a slow news cycle as well. So when you're on vacation and there's nothing else that people are watching or talking about football, so it's everybody's analyzing every little thing that we did during our downtime. So I didn't love that part of it.
You know, it's amazing to me because I'm thinking about all the other GMs around the league are watching you do your job. How many of those guys were texting you as this was going on?
Yeah, quite a bit. And then I've gotten some calls from some guys that have it coming up, whether it was, you know, I talked to Ryan Poles before they had it with the Bears, and then, you know, they're doing the AFC North in season. So I've had a couple of conversations with the GMs of those teams that asking me just, you know, what's it like, the cameras, you know, what's the input like in terms of editorial input. So, yeah, I've gotten a lot of questions from people that have, you know, it on the horizon.
The amazing thing is my buddy Frank Reich, when he was the Indianapolis head coach, they had in-season Hard Knocks. Mm-hmm. He said it was great. And was also distracting. It was great because when the cameras are in the meeting rooms, all the players are awake, they're paying attention, everybody knows what's going on. But the show didn't show up until Wednesday night as they are getting ready for the next team that they're playing. And that turned out to be a real distraction for them in season. So I think you're kind of lucky that you got to do it during the off season. And I know John Mara does not want it here during summer camp, that's for sure. So, but you did break new ground, and I thought it was amazing just how open and honest, and it seemed like transparent it really was, because we asked Daniel this morning, can he trust you guys as you guys are trying to look like you're trying to replace him here in the offseason? And I know that's part of your job. That's what you have to do. You have to do whatever's in the best interest of the franchise. But do you think that it really put a strain on your relationship with your starting quarterback now?
I don't think so, because there was no issue with trust. I think at the beginning of one of the episodes where I was talking to Chris Mayer about our conversation, Daniel and I, so Daboll and I thought all along it was very important to be up front and, you know, to communicate and shoot these guys straight. They're grown men. It's a business. And, you know, we were up front with Daniel before we had any 30 visits, before we started looking at any prospects at any position. So we just let him know we didn't want him to be blindsided, and we wanted to be up front with him. And I think when you're up front and communicate and you're honest, then there's no issue with trust if, you know, exactly the way we talked to about it, what may happen, you know, ended up happening. So,
yeah, I'd tell you otherwise if I thought you came across bad. You came across great in this series. You really did. You looked like you had your stuff together. You looked like you were in charge. Like, if I were you, I would have been like, this could have been a disaster for us, and we came out of this looking pretty good. Did you feel that way about it?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the cameras, you know, were put in the building in January, and this has never been done, like you said before. Mm-hmm. So I had no idea what it was going to be. Like, what was the storylines going to be? What were they going to use? You know, they were at the Senior Bowl with us for 4 days filming for 12 to 14 hours. And I think from the Senior Bowl, they used not even a minute worth of. So they're around us the whole time, just not really knowing what the storylines were going to be, what they were going to show, what they weren't going to show. The first time I saw, you know, what the cameras looked like in my office were after the draft, and they were gone. So you talk about Indianapolis, seeing it on Wednesday, and then they show it. You know, we didn't see an episode until, you know, mid-May, early June, and the cameras were gone, you know, so we didn't really know what the product was going to be. But I think NFL Films did a good job with it. We put a lot of trust in them, that those strategy meetings, those conversations, you know, that could have easily gotten out, or somebody could have leaked something, and, yeah, you know, we put a lot of trust in them, and none of that happened. So, you know, I think the final product, you know, again, it did shock some people on some of the conversations that were put out there.
Yeah, well, we know these conversations go on. Yeah. We have never seen them. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Especially as a former player, I'm sitting there going, you know, I know they said this crap about me somewhere along the line. And I was just thinking from your quarterback's perspective, and I'm glad that you were open and honest with Daniel. And he said you guys were, by the way.
Yeah.
But still, it would bother the hell out of me watching my general manager and my coach talking about, you know, these potential guys that maybe we can trade for if we could. But what really made it interesting for me, and I think for you too, because you came in the one morning and said, man, I miss football.
Yeah.
Because now we see how it goes putting a football team together, and you're making trades, and you're signing guys. And the big trade, obviously, was the Brian Burns trade.
Yep.
And how that all came about and just happened, like, on the field, and you and Dan Morgan had just chopping it up a little bit. Next thing you know, he's on your team.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
that's crazy.
Dan and I go way back, and again, that's our relationship. It just, you know, if you guys are best friends and you're shooting the crap, whatever, whether they're outlandish or, you know, potential reality, that's how it started. And then, you know, we were texting at the combine, and then we had some conversations. And, you know, as it went forward, you know, I realized it was, you know, actually a possibility to get it done. And, you know, we were able to get it for a price that we thought was good. And, you know, again, a two-time Pro Bowler at his age, you know, it's going to be hard to find those guys with the amount of needs that we had. The ability to acquire another rusher, you know, we thought was important. So,
yeah, that part of it was fascinating to me. And the other one was the John Mara influence in your office was just, I couldn't get enough of this. Because you're sitting in your chair, and then there's John Mara standing there going, "Hey, if we pull this deal off, we're going to have heart palpitations." And then you're like, "Oh, thanks." You know, like how, yeah. Being you, when he says that, being John Mara, how do you not let it affect your decision-making, or does it affect your decision-making?
Yeah, John and I have a great relationship, and we have great communication. And to me, it's an advantage to have him in the building every day. And he's been around a long time. You know, he's been around the Giants his entire life, and he's been a part of some really good decisions and Super Bowl teams. So to have him here as a resource to say, what do you think about this, or does this remind you of anything, or this is what I'm thinking, and he'll challenge me and say why, or he'll agree. And those conversations and dialogue, you know, are great for me, because I look at him as a resource. And we have, again, his reaction, that, you know, my dad, it's funny, all the reactions that you get. My mom said, you said the F-bomb, I don't like that. My dad's like, well, that made me nervous when John was worried about Saquon or the quarterback or whatever. But John and I have a great relationship, and, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, he hired Daboll and I to do a job. And, you know, again, he may question things, and that, you know, that's his right, he owns the team, but he's always going to support us. And I think he, you know, on the show it said, I'm going to go with my gut, and I'm going to trust you guys to do your job. So I love it that he challenges and asks us, you know, how it's going to help the team, and, you know, the reasoning behind it, and we can back it up with strong evidence, then he's going to support us all along.
Joe Shane, the GM of the New York Giants, joins us for a few more minutes. The other interesting conversation was the Runyon one, where all of a sudden the Jets are involved. And I thought you were going to go, God damn Jets.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's real. I mean, that's how things happen, and you're dealing with the agent. We never really heard the agent, but I'm thinking that these agents are playing you guys off of one another, and how frequent does that happen?
Yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, every single player, you know, whether it was Devin Singletary, Illuminor, Runyon, all those guys, there was competition for those players. And early on in free agency, you're going to probably have to stretch a little bit because there's more competition. Then the later you get in the week, the more you're probably going to get value, or really good value for some players. So, you know, offensive line was a priority, and, you know, those were two guys that we were willing to stretch a little bit on. But whether it was the Jets or another team, Runyon was a guy that we targeted.
Jets, but the Jets,
yeah,
of all teams.
Well, and they were looking to upgrade their offensive line too, and it's supply and demand. There's only so many players at those positions that hit the market, so.
Take me through the real quickly, the salary cap machinations that you have to go through to try to figure out how much money you're spending, who you're spending it on, and how
I'm
it
sure
impacts.
We'll do this quickly, by the way.
Well, I mean, I know it's
well,
it's,
no, it's a good question. There's, you know, it's the pie of money and how you're going to build your team and how you're going to spread it out. And you know, the one where I saw what the salary cap was, our projections were quite a bit lower, $15 million lower. We were being pretty conservative in our estimates. So those initial conversations about, you know, that one of our guys was talking about franchise and trade, or, you know, with Saquon, we thought, you know, the salary cap was going to be the $240 million range. Then we go to the combine, and, you know, by then I knew it was $255, and we hadn't met as a staff yet. So that changed some things. But again, as you're, you know, we went with the big fish and Brian Burns, you know, again, the priority positions, the premium positions, you know, what receivers are getting now. You know, I think Malik Nabers has done a really good job for us, you know, having a premium pass rusher and, you know, Burns.
And by the way, Daniel Jones's contract doesn't look so bad right now.
Yeah, I was looking yesterday. I think he's tied with three guys at 14.
Yeah,
between 14 and 17.
And right? Eventually, Dak's going to get a new contract. Brock Purdy's going to get a new contract.
Yeah, there's other guys coming in. Yeah. There's just there's not really a middle class there. You know, the quarterbacks right now.
I just love the subtlety of you telling the guy who gave Daniel Jones that contract, "Don't look so bad."
Well, trust me, that was the sell of the agent at the time. Like they do their homework too, and yeah. All these guys are coming up. And, you know, again, that was
so. Saquon's agent name was Ed Berry. Is that what it was?
Yeah, initially it was Kim Miele.
Yeah.
for Rock Nation, and then Ed Berry with CAA came in last June.
Those phone calls, where you're like, Ed Berry.
I adopted his accent there a little bit.
That's not how you talk.
Yeah, I know.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah, but so I lived in Texas for a little bit. My wife's from the South, so I leaned into that Southern accent a little
bit. That's so funny. Yeah. If I was him, I'd be like, who are you?
Ed Berry. Yeah, that was. I leaned into it.
Did you think that was going to get covered the way that it did, all the Saquon stuff? Because it was like at slow news time, as you mentioned. Like, that was those headlines were everywhere about those phone calls.
Yeah. We knew going into it, and that would be a big part of the off-season conversation. And, you know, again, I didn't realize, like, the one time I was on the phone with Elliot Wolf, and, like, the phone is to my ear. It's not on speakerphone. And you can hear what he's saying. I'm like, good Lord, like, how sensitive are these microphones? Yeah. And, again, I didn't see any of it until after the fact. So, again, we went through it. We got comfortable with the cameras, and, you know, I think NFL Films did a good job with them.
You know, before you trade for somebody, because this has gone on now in the NFL for the last few years, there are disgruntled players that get traded from one team to another, and when they go to the second team, they have this expectation that something's going to be done with their contract. Have you been in that situation? I don't think you have.
You know, we did it with Steph Diggs in Buffalo.
In Buffalo, okay,
yeah,
yes.
So we traded with him. He had just done a deal. So what we did is we moved some money up in the first year he was with us, but we had a deal in place, you know, in terms of talking with the agent beforehand that, hey, not year one, we're not going to redo something, but year two, you know, we'll come to the table and have a conversation about that. So yeah, you know, you lose all the leverage if you do that and you don't have a deal in place, because now you just traded a pick, whatever it may be, and now you don't have a player or a deal in place. So.
And I know the Jets are dealing with that, and I know the Patriots had dealt with that, but they had their own player in Matthew Judon, and now he decided to go to Atlanta, and I don't necessarily know if Atlanta's going to talk to him or not give him a contract extension, but that is a big part of what's going on in the league now, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's where you want to have clarity, those relationships with the agent. Hey, if we pull the trigger on Matthew Judon or whoever it is, you know, what's the situation when he gets here? Is he going to show up? Is he going to practice? Here's the expectations on a deal. Again, just the communication, I think, is important on that.
You know, I'd have another career venture for you that you could do on the side when you're the general manager of the Giants, because you get really good, and you were really good at, like, delivering tough information in a soft way. So if you go on Cameo and, like, have people use you to break up with their boyfriends or girlfriends, that'd be great. You know, because you're like, yeah, you know what, we're just not going to go ahead and do that right now. It's just not for us. So we're going to go in a different direction. So yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, it may come across that way, but to this day, if we have to cut a player, I hate it. I still hate it. Whether
you're
it's a 90th,
it,
I hate it. 90th player on the roster or not, Dave does a lot of the talking. He's comfortable with it now, and it just I don't care who it is. I hate to deliver that bad news to people in person.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
Nobody
tough.
Wants
tough
to
part
be the
of the
Turk.
Job.
Nobody
yeah.
wants to be the Turk.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be the Turk.
No.
You brought your family was a part of this, and your kids were on TV. Do you have any reluctance in putting your family out there on national TV?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, again, I'm not totally up to date on the social media part, but just told them whatever you had to do to make your stuff private. People are going to say stuff about you regardless, and it's more about protecting them,
yeah.
you know, from you know, cyberbullying or whatever it may
yeah,
be.
I don't think comment. Anybody was I never saw any negative reaction to your family. Obviously, you got to think about that, but just from a standpoint of a dad and, like, wanting to protect the family, like, man, this business is brutal. Like, do I really want to have them on TV because there's so many jerks out there?
Yeah,
know?
For sure. Yeah, I definitely thought about that, and then you know, again, the way the NFL Films went about it and the way, you know, they showed us whether it was playing the Uno or my
yeah,
daughter's birthday
great.
Party
or
in my office. You know, I was comfortable with, you know, how it came across, but I just want to protect them from, you know, you can hear everybody's comments now. Everybody's got an opinion and somehow, you know, it can get to you. So I just wanted to protect them from that part.
You know, it's interesting. We loved it because it really gave us a real perspective of something that goes on that we know that goes on in 32 different cities. But now you see it live and in person. And there are a lot of people that were ex-general managers that did do some criticizing of the way that you were doing your job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yeah.
I was amazed. And I said this because since you don't listen to sports talk radio, at least we found that out in this show. I
so
want to let you know what I said. I said I could not believe how many people you had in the room with you as you were trying to make decisions.
Looked like you were giving a TED talk.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Even Dion was in there on one of those. But so it's hurry up and wait. So we make the calls. We call the agent. Here's what we're going to offer. We email the contract over, and then you're waiting. So we're hanging out. We're watching out, you know, what other deals are coming through. You know, the hay's in the barn. We've got the plan. Now we just got to execute it, but you're at the mercy of the agent, and then they're leveraging you against other teams. So I've been places where you're locked out of that. And to me, I've got a lot of good, you know, scouts in there, a lot of good employees that, you know, are hungry and ambitious to do things in their career. And if you leave them out of the process, they can't learn. And then sometimes you water down that passion that they have. So, you know, it's a collaborative group. I'm inclusive. I like to keep people involved. And, you know, they spend a lot of time away from their families in this building trying to do what's best for the New York Giants. So I think it's, you know, we got a good team up there. And I think that was shown. That was part of Hard Knocks that I was proud of, that, you know, there was some exposure to, you know, Brandon Brown, Dennis Hickey, Tim McDonald,
Hannah Burnett,
yeah. Chris Rossetti. Like, there's a lot of talented people in that building. And, you know, again, we're just hanging out. The plan was in place. We had worked hard. And, you know, we're watching NFL Network as these deals are coming in.
These guys are watching NFL Network just like we are. Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, is I was just wondering, what's more exciting? Is it the pre-free agent period where you're not really sure what you can do, or is it the draft as you hit, you know, draft day when it first opens up?
Yeah, it's the draft. Again, there's a lot of uncertainty in free agency, as you saw, and people are leveraging you, and you have to spend more, and you get frustrated that you didn't want to go that high, or however it works out, or you lose out on somebody. But the draft process, you can really get to know the kids. You spend a lot of time with them. You can have them in the building. You have updated medical. Because, again, you know, let's say Brian Burns has played in the league for 5 years. You haven't gotten a medical update on, you know, and you're making this big-time trade. And, you know, so you don't always have all the information. But I think the draft process, and you saw how thorough we are in the show, that, you know, again, when I was in Buffalo, we spent a lot of time on Brian Burns. So then you're comfortable trading with that for that player. So the information that you gather during the draft process may not necessarily be for today, but even down the road, if a trade or a claim or whatever it may be on the players down the road.
Was it accurate that you guys weren't sure whether or not Malik was going to go to the Cardinals, and maybe you could have gotten, you know, Harrison Jr. or maybe Roman Dunze? Were you pretty sure you were going to get him, or you just weren't really sure?
By the end, I was comfortable with that Malik was going to be there. The Chargers were the one that I wasn't sure what they were going to do. They kept everything pretty close to the vest.
Plus, they lost all their receivers in free agency.
Right, exactly. So we were thinking, hey, if it, you know, that was the scenario we went through. If it goes, I was pretty confident that Marvin was going to go to Arizona, and then, you know, if the Chargers took Malik, that's where we went through some of those other, you know, scenarios where maybe we'd move back and collect more picks and still get a receiver potentially.
Draft's been over for a long time. Everybody's got their players. Who was Joe Douglas going to pick when he called you up?
That's a great question.
Who did they
want?
That's
a great question. You know, again, they ended up taking a tackle.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe it was, you know, the guy that Tennessee took out of Bama, Latham, because Joe Alt was already gone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe it was Malik Nabers. I don't know.
That's what's fascinating to me, because I kind of thought, after I was thinking about it, I was like, it could have been Malik Nabers.
Yeah, well, that's why I always think that Davante Adams is coming to the Jets at one point in time.
That would be scary.
That would be really scary. Yeah.
Do you ever relax during the year? Like, I mean, during like this point, like, okay, we've gotten to the season. I know you've got to work every day as a general manager, but the team here is going to be the team. You're going to have your 53 men. You're going into week one. Do you ever just take a moment like, all right, it's time to chill and let Dave's do his thing? Or are you still in your office, like, chewing your fingernails and going, Ed Barry?
Yeah, you know, I should do that. But, you know, again, I look forward to next Wednesday when it's the final 53. But then we got college games starting Thursday night. So
never ends.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday next weekend. My staff and I will be on the road at college games. So as soon as the roster's in order, we're taking off.
If he is still here 5 years from now, but you see the gray hair.
Oh, I keep cutting it shorter. It's there.
It's
I got to keep going shorter and shorter.
It is coming. You know, I would also think that you're never not comfortable, or you're never comfortable totally with all 53.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just are always looking and scouring and looking at who's getting waived, what other possible trades could be happening.
Yep.
So I would imagine that, do you feel comfortable about, you know, your 53 if you had a start today and you knew who they were?
Yeah, I would say right now we're about 51 and still trying to figure out. There's still some position battles going on. It's probably not even 51. It may be a little bit lower than that. But also, hey, who are the guys that maybe we can take some swings on if, you know, hey, maybe there's four players that if guys get cut that we could replace. So I usually have the staff, you know, offense, hey, cut it down to 22. You know, if you can have 22 guys, defense 22 guys. That way, if, you know, we have an opportunity to sign something that maybe better or help us, that we have, you know, those three or four guys that we could replace.
What's the impact of the new dynamic kickoff from your perspective?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting once I don't think anybody's really showing their hand in the preseason in terms of how they're going to work the returns or scheme them. But
how about in terms of roster?
Yeah. From the returner standpoint, yeah, for sure. It's those punt return skill sets, the quickness, the ability to make the quick cuts. I think is important, and that's, again, it had kind of left the game. Kickoff, we didn't really, you're not really worried about kickoff coverage. Kickoff return had kind of been eliminated from the game.
Right.
So, you know, we were talking about kickoff coverage, throughout the offseason, we were looking for different body types, guys that are longer, that guys that can play in space, that guy that can make you miss, because those guys are trying to block you as they're going backwards. So a little bit of the body types and skill sets on both sides, kickoff return and kickoff changed a little bit.
And by the way, you can listen to our show. You don't have to avoid our show. Half the time we're making penis jokes, we're even talking sports. It doesn't matter.
Well,
you can put us on. It's okay,
if you
man.
Just want to have some laughs.
You
like
can tell
okay. us right now.
Yeah,
yes.
Not all your
right.
typical show, all right?
Yeah,
for God's
yeah.
sakes.
No,
it broke my heart when I heard my voice on that show, and then you go, I couldn't even find Sports Talk Radio. I was like, oh, Joe.
Come on,
man.
How about a 7-foot penis in your front yard?
See what I mean? That's Boomer Esiason yeah. saying that. It's great talking to you.
Yes.
Best of luck, and really hoping for a great season for you
guys.
All right,
guys. Yeah, me too. Appreciate
all right, Joe. Good
thanks,
luck
guys.
To you, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
Appreciate it.
Draft's been over for a long time. Everybody's got their players. Who was Joe Douglas going to pick when he called you up?
That's a great question.
Who did they
That's
want?
That's a great question. Again, they ended up taking a tackle.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe it was, the guy that Tennessee took out of Bama, Latham, because Joe Alt was already gone.
Yeah.
Or, maybe it was Malik Nabers. I don't know.
That's what's fascinating to me, because I kind of thought, after I was thinking about it, I was like, it could have been Malik Nabers.
Yeah, well, that's why I always think that Davante Adams is coming to the Jets at one point in time.
That would be scary.
That would be really scary.
Yeah.
Do you ever relax during the year? During this point, okay, we've gotten to the season. I know you've got to work every day as a general manager, but the team here is going to be the team. You're going to have your 53 men. You're going into week one. Do you ever just take a moment all right, it's time to chill and let Dave's do his thing? Or are you still in your office chewing your fingernails and going, Ed Berry?
Yeah, I should do that. But, again, I look forward to next Wednesday when it's the final 53. But then we got college games starting Thursday night. So
never ends.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday next weekend. My staff and I will be on the road at college games. So as soon as the roster's in order, we're taking off.
If he is still here 5 years from now, but you see the gray hair.
Oh, I keep cutting it shorter. It's there.
I
got to keep going shorter
and
shorter.
It is coming. I would also think that you're never not comfortable, or you're never comfortable totally with all 53.
Mm-hmm.
You just are always looking and scouring and looking at who's getting waived, what other possible trades could be happening.
Yep.
So I would imagine that. Do you feel comfortable about your 53 if you had a start today and you knew who they were?
Yeah, I would say right now we're about 51 and still trying to figure out. There's still some position battles going on. It's probably not even 51. It may be a little bit lower than that. But also, hey, who are the guys that maybe we can take some swings on if, hey, maybe there's four players that if guys get cut that we could replace. So I usually have the staff, offense, hey, cut it down to 22. If you can have 22 guys, defense 22 guys. That way, if, we have an opportunity to sign something that maybe better or help us, that we have, those three or four guys that we could replace.
What's the impact of the new dynamic kickoff from your perspective?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting once I don't think anybody's really showing their hand in the preseason in terms of how they're going to work the returns or scheme them, but
how about in terms of roster?
From the returner standpoint, yeah, for sure. It's those punt return skill sets, the quickness, the ability to make the quick cuts. I think is important, and that's, again, it had kind of left the game. Kickoff, we didn't really, you're not really worried about kickoff coverage. Kickoff return had kind of been eliminated from the game.
Right.
So we were talking about kickoff coverage, throughout the offseason, we were looking for different body types, guys that are longer, that guys that can play in space, that guy that can make you miss, because those guys are trying to block you as they're going backwards. So a little bit of body types and skill sets on both sides, kickoff return and kickoff changed a little bit.
And by the way, you can listen to our show. You don't have to avoid our show. Half the time we're making penis jokes, we're even talking sports. It doesn't matter.
Well,
you can put us on. It's okay,
if you
man.
Just want to have some laughs.
You
like
can tell
okay. us right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not
right.
your typical show, all right?
Yeah.
For God's
yeah.
sakes.
No,
it broke my heart when I heard my voice on that show, and then you go, I couldn't even find Sports Talk Radio. I was like, oh, Joe.
Come on, Joe.
Man.
How about a 7-foot penis in your front yard?
See what I mean? That's Boomer Esiason
yeah.
saying that. It's great talking to you.
Yes.
Best of luck, and really hoping for a great season for you
all right, guys.
Guys.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Joe, good
thanks,
luck
guys.
To you, man.
Yeah,
thanks.
Appreciate it.